of Revelation in chapter number 1 this morning. Thankful for the power of the cross. Amen. I'm going to read this passage, but first I want to stop and share a quick praise. I've asked the church, I've just been sharing for the last, a little over 3 weeks to pray for a special need that family had. And there was a specific financial need and dollar amount that some things came and needed and been praying for. And been praying for 3 weeks and no answers. Appreciate all those who prayed with us. And so anyways, I don't want to take a long time, but after the couple's retreat, I had to drive to Dayton, have my taxes done, which is never fun. Whenever I had my taxes done and for 2022, it was a lot has changed in our family dynamic with kids going out of the house and getting married and all this stuff. And I owed at the end of 2022 quite a bit of money. For me, it was like $3,600 or something. And so we paid that, and Lord met the need. And so then he set me up to make estimated taxes and payments for this year. And so I went into yesterday thinking, all right, I know how much I've paid in. I should owe probably about another 1,000 or so, and let's get this over with. And long story short, Justin, who's not feeling well today, does a lot of heating and air for us. He did my home, and he told me, he said, I'm going to wait and finish your job in February, because new inflation something act, and he said, just mention it to your tax guy just in case it helps. So I wrote it down, and so I mentioned it to him. He's like, well, what all did you have done? I said, well, we had to put a new furnace in and a new air conditioner, and he finished it in February. I paid him for it, and I was like, all right. So he did all the numbers. And long story short, at the end of the day, he looked at me, and the tax guy said, believe it or not, just the way everything fell and the way things work out, he said, you don't have a tax debt this year. I was like, well, that's awesome. I said, well, I'm glad we paid in. He goes, well, actually, he said, you don't have a tax debt. He said, so you're going to get refunded what you paid in this year, which was the exact amount. I was praying for him. And when he said the amount, I said, what? And he told me the exact amount, and I said, I started crying. My tax guy was like, you okay? I was like, yeah. I said, I've been praying 3 weeks for that number. And, And he sat there, and he's a Christian man, and he looked at me. He goes, "Well, praise God." I was like, "Praise God!" Yeah, he was just saying, and so it was awesome. And I just want to thank the church for praying. Those that were able to pray with us about that special need is all I ever said. But God nailed it. So I'm just thankful, and I appreciate the prayers, I want to testify that God, like always, He's faithful. Amen. And so I rejoice and praise Him today. So, and when I got ready to leave, he told me, he said, I just want you to know. He said, I'm 81. I said, yeah, I know. He goes, I'm done. He said, I can't do any taxes anymore. He said, I'm no longer renewing. And he said, I told him, I was like, well, I remember whenever you came to my house. I said, I was 10 years old first time I remember you coming. And I said, I remember you coming with your big, giant briefcase. And my dad said, son, if you walk in this kitchen, you're in so much trouble. So I said, I remember I couldn't go in the kitchen the whole time you were there. And he started laughing. He said, yeah. He said, and he has done taxes for all these years. And he started crying. And he said, he does all kinds of stuff, but he specializes in pastors and missionaries. He said, I started this 40 years ago, because I met your grandfather. He said, and your grandfather encouraged me that pastors and missionaries need someone who knows the laws. They can do things right, legal, and do it. And he said, I got a burden for that. He said, I've been doing this for 40 years. And he said, I've been able to help a whole lot of people. And he said, I'm thankful for your family. And then he started crying. This is the most emotional tax session ever had in my entire life. But thank the Lord. It was good. So, and on a side note, I need a new tax guy. All right. So, but Revelation chapter number 1, and let's read this starting in verse number 4, and then we'll have a word of prayer and see what the Lord has for us. Revelation 1 verse 4 says, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please help, Lord, the message today to be exactly what you want and nothing more, nothing less. Father, I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would be in charge tonight. He would teach us and comfort us, guide us, exhort us, rebuke us, whatever our spiritual need is that he knows. I pray that, Lord, he'd have freedom to meet that in our lives. Lord, I do pray, Lord, for myself and my voice, I pray it would not be a distraction. I pray you would enable and empower. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, you just please help us this morning. We love you so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I am thankful for the Lord. I hope you're thankful for the Lord today. John wrote the book of Revelation, and he's addressing these next few chapters to the 7 churches, which were there in Asia Minor. Asia, he says there. And he starts by saying grace and peace. Those are two wonderful words, grace and peace. He says there in verse number 4, it says, grace be unto you and peace. And that grace and peace, again, John, I'm sure, only wished them well. But that grace and peace did not come from John. That grace and peace came from the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in that verse, I love how it says it. It says, grace and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. Says the same thing in verse number 8 in the middle of the verse about saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He is faithful. You and I, we can rest on him. We can rely upon him. We can be reassured in him. We can be refreshed in him. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I reminded of that last night, which a testimony just shared. On the faithfulness of God. There were several times in the last 3 weeks, as the clock's been ticking, that my wife said, she looked at me, she said, it'll be all right. Got to meet it. And he did. And he's just a great God. And he is, and he was, and he is to come. That's why he refers to himself as the I Am. He is the eternal God. He will never change. He's always been faithful. He is faithful, and he will always be faithful. You and I can rejoice in what he has done. We can rejoice in what he's doing, and we can rejoice in what he's going to do. That will always stay the same. He is a faithful witness. He is, as he says in his passage, the first begotten of the dead. He is the first of all resurrected. There will be none like him. Of all the resurrected, he is the first begotten. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. There is none like him. I could talk about him this morning all the way till this evening if we all wanted to, because he's worth bragging about. He's worth talking about. And the topic is, we can't exhaust it. He is a wonderful, gracious, and great God. And we at all times, and I love how it says it in this passage, at all times we can look back at the greatness in what he's done. And we can look around us at the greatness of what he's doing. And we can look ahead at the greatness of what he's going to do. Because that is our God. So many times, I, and probably you, lose track of that sometimes. I mean, it's easy. David, in Psalm chapter number 42, he gets very down. He gets very depressed. And the only thing that could change his heart is he had to start praising God. He had to start rejoicing in the Lord. And the Bible says that David, he said, when I remember, and he starts mentioning these different places like Mizar and Jordan, and he mentions these places, he said, then I can praise him. And it's good for us when we start to get down. The first thing we have to do is look back and remind ourselves God has always been faithful. And look back at different events, the hills, the mountains, the valleys, and everywhere we've gone. He's never failed us. I mean, we're sitting here today, and isn't it sad how quickly I and how quickly you too can sometimes get overwhelmed by circumstances. Yet all of us, me, I can look back 48 years, God's never failed me. My mom can look back and look more than 48 years that God's never failed her. I'm not going to say anything. Hey, all right. You know, we can look back. God has always been faithful. Every one of his auditorium, there's none of us that can stand up and say, well, God really failed. None of us. I mean, isn't that amazing? You know how many Christians I've met in my life that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? And not one. We're not talking like 100. I'm talking hundreds of thousands. I've been around a lot of people in my life. You know, I go to nursing homes every week, and we meet elderly people that have the Lord Jesus Christ has been their Savior. Do you know how many of those elderly people that are in their 70s, 80s, 90s, some 100, that have lived for the Lord? Do you know how many of those? I went to my first nursing home service and preached, and I was 16. I surrendered to preach. I walked forward at Marine Heights Baptist Church. My grandpa met me down at the altar. I told him I was surrendering to preach, that God wanted me to preach, and I had made that decision at a youth meeting, and I wanted the church to know. He prayed with me, he thanked God, and then he whispered in my ear, be at the nursing home Tuesday. I was like, what for? He said, well, you're going to preach. I was like, he goes, well, you just said God called you to do it. I was like, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah. And I went, and I preached a five-minute sermon. Don't you miss those days, right? You know. And I got up and preached, and I've been around in nursing homes ever since then. And I've met a whole lot of Christian saints of God sitting in those nursing homes. None of them have ever regretted serving God. None of them have ever said God failed me. None of them have ever said, I wish I wouldn't have made that decision. 100% testify, God's been good. We need reminder of that sometimes, because circumstances blind us sometimes, don't they? And we forget that he is, and all he's done, and what he's done in the past, and what he's doing now, and all that he'll do in the future. He's a wonderful God. And we have to take the time to look at that. And I just want us to consider a few things that John talks about, and what he's done, and what he's doing, and what he's going to do, and that he is the one who was and is, and what he shall do in the days ahead. And I love these, starting in verse number 5, and I think everyone needs, this is one of those sermons you ought to be able to amen everything that's said today, all right? And I hope you get involved in that, all right? Because it's fun, all right? Number 1, verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. He loved us. I wrote down, yes, Brother Sutherland, I wrote down, despite us. He loves us. And again, which was, which is, and which is to come. Listen, he loved us before we were. He loves us, which was. You know, before God created anything, he loves you. Before, you know, Travis Burke discovered this world on July the 29th, 1975. But God loved Travis Burke before the foundation of the world. He's always loved me. He's always loved you. He loves you now. Because it's what he does. He is faithful. Amen? He is the faithful witness. He's always loved you. He loves you now. And look at me. He's going to love you tomorrow. He'll never quit loving you. He loves us despite us. Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed us his love before we ever knew about his love. He loved us before we ever knew what sin was. And he loves us despite all the sin we've committed. None of us in this auditorium would want all of our sins shared on those screens behind me today. We'd all run out of this room and hide and never want to be seen again if all of our sins were shown on that. And God knows every sin we've ever committed, every sin we've ever thought, every word that's ever crossed our lips, every word that's even crossed our mind. God knows it all. And despite all of that, he says, and I love you. He loves every one of us. He loves us despite us. He loved us so much he would die for us. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He was willing to lay his life down for us because that is the only way we could be saved. And how could such a love be shown anymore in the fact that Jesus Christ would come, knowing what a wicked sinner we are, knowing that, let's just be honest, a great host of people would reject what he did for them on the cross. Yet he still died not just for our sins, but he died for the sins of the world. He died for everyone. He died. He died on that cross and suffered on that cross for Daniel. That's awesome, Daniel. He suffered and died because he knew one day Daniel would bow his head and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that right there should blow our mind. But he also died for that guy that's sitting at home today that said, I want nothing to do with God. And he suffered for him just as much. Because he loves us all. He loves, the Bible says, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved because he loves every one of us. He loves us despite us. He loves us so much he would die for us. And he loves us so much because he wants to deliver us. Keep your finger right there. Go back to Galatians chapter number 1 real quick. Back to your left a little bit. In Galatians chapter number 1 and in verse number 4, the Bible says this in Galatians 1 and verse number 4. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1 and verse number 4 says, who gave himself, Jesus, he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Isn't it awesome? He loved us despite us. He loved us enough to die for us. But he loved us because he wanted to deliver us. He wanted to deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. God doesn't want us to be rampaged by this present evil world. And listen, I know this world's wicked. I know it's evil. Those words were written a couple thousand years ago because you know what? The world was wicked then too. The world's always been wicked, right? And the world is this present evil world. That verse is true today, and it was true 1,000 years ago. The world is presently wicked. But God sent his Son, and Jesus willingly died for us to deliver us from that. Amen? Deliver us from that. Which means this, by the way, Christian, he doesn't want you to get saved and stay in that filth.
God died not just so you can, and Brother Brudnack preached about this on Thursday, all right, about the power of the gospel, but Christ died for us not just so we could go to heaven, but that we could be delivered from this wicked world that's around us, that we don't have to suffer in sin. We don't have to be controlled by addiction. We don't have to have our life ruined by the results of a wicked, wicked flesh. You have been given victory over that. He died so that we could have this. But understand, he loves us. And back in Revelation, I love the fact he delivered us. Look real quick in Revelation chapter 1. Just glancing ahead at a verse we didn't really talk about. But verse number 18, all right? Again, remember he was and is to come. And verse number 18, it says, I am he that liveth, was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. A key is a symbol of authority. Except for here at church, because I think every one of you have a key to this place. All right, but a key is a symbol of authority, right? You know, I there's certain things, my house, I have a key to my house. I got a key to my house. You know, I have a key to my mom's house. I can get in her house, right? You know, I love Brother Tyler, but he don't have a key to my house or my mom's house, right? Right, brother? You don't have a key, right? Because I don't want him walking in all the time, right? I might shoot him if he walks in the wrong time, right? You know, you have to have access. A key is a symbol of authority. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he died for our sins. But he arose from the grave. And, you know, this is just Travis Burke's commentary. This is just my imagination. Everybody with me? Right, so, you know, don't be like doctrinal statements. My God. I know. But can't you see? I just love this, right? That the Lord died, and you can say Satan knew the scriptures. Right. Yeah, and there's poems about this, all kinds of stories. But, you know, death, do you still have him? Oh, yeah, I still got him. Yeah, he's still laying in the grave. Second day, death, the devil says, do you have him? Oh, yeah, he's still laying there. Third day, death, you have him. He's still there. But on that night, that next morning, he arose from the grave. Can you imagine the devil coming, death, you still got him? I don't know how to tell you this. Right? I couldn't stop him. Death could not stop the Lord Jesus. He arose from the grave. Amen? But here's where my imagination kicks in. The devil says, are you serious, death? Yeah, there's something else. The devil's like, what could be worse? You allowed him to rise, death. You're supposed to, that's the end. I couldn't stop him, but there's something worse. What could be worse, death? Took the keys. Yeah. Amen. Took the what? Took the keys. Yep. It's the keys. He's got all the authority. Yep. And there is not a question. He's always been God. But death does not rule over any of God's children. He's got the keys. Amen. He came and he loved us, which was that is and is to come. He loves us. He always will love us. And even if you're going through a difficult time, he loves you. And he has loved you. And he will love you. Back in our text in Revelation chapter 1, he loved us. So thankful for that. Number 2, in verse number 5, it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He not only washed, loved us, but he washed us. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. You and I, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, the other day, I told nursing home this, but I don't know. I don't think I shared it. I might have. If I did, just smile and act like I never did, right? But the other day, I was coming back, Hope and I in the car. Something underneath the car started flapping and hitting. It made an awful sound. Hope said, what is that? And so I was like, I don't know. But I just got a white dress shirt, you know, and my wife bought it for me. She actually bought it for me like 2 months ago. I never had worn it. And so I ironed it. First day I was wearing it, man, it was awesome. And I had the suit on because it's Sunday afternoon, And we had run to the store right before the chili dinner. That's what it was. And we're heading back. And I was like, I don't know. I said, and it was kind of snowy and muddy and yucky outside. I was like, I can't really get underneath the car. Well, I'm driving by, right, coming head back here to church. And I'm driving by, and there's Brother Jordan behind his house feeding pigs. And I was like, he can get on the ground, you know. So I like whipped in his house there, and you know, I just kind of was like, hey, I was waving, because I didn't want to walk through the yard. I had my shoes on, my suit on, you know. And he said, I didn't have time to go home. I'm not afraid to get on the ground. I was really clean, all right, you know. And he wasn't, all right, you know. And so, and he walks up, you know, he's got his jeans and his hog feeding hoodie on, and he's like, what's going on? I said, I don't know what's going on underneath the car. And he goes, oh, I got it. He just lays and he rolls around. And he gets underneath the car. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he does his thing, and he's awesome, right? And, you know, he said, I just can't. He goes, I get it. You're fine. You know, he's a very kind man, right? You know, and so he got all that taken care of, and he starts to walk back, and they have a dog named Hank. And Hank's like, Pastor. I'm like, hey, Hank. And Hank's like, yeah, boom. Right on my shirt. I was just like, good dog, yeah. And Brother Jordan's like, hey, sorry, hey, get down, hang down. I was like, oh, it's all good. I got in the car. I was like, Hope's like, oh, no, your shirt. I was like, I know. And but perfectly, the paw prints were bang right there. And I had on one of my dad's ties that day. And dad has white ties, right? And so I put my tie down, and I was like, Hope. She's like, you can't see it. I was like, cool. All right, and I preached that night, and none of you saw it. Right? You didn't know that at all, right? And there's two giant Hank prints underneath my tie, right? And I took it to the dry cleaners the next day, and they washed it, got it back the very, you know, Tuesday. Looked, sure, it's perfect again, right? The stains were gone. You and I, because of our sin stains us. But praise the Lord that He loved us. And He washed us. The moment that you got saved, your sins were forgiven. Though our sins be as scarlet, thankfully they shall be white as snow. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I am so thankful if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am thankful that if you go to God today, I don't care how much sin you've got yourself involved in. I don't care how much you've rolled around in the filth of this world. I don't care how deep and dark the stain is. If you'll run to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will forgive you today. But He also, my friend, He will cleanse you today. And listen to me. He does it, and you have to pay attention to the statement. He does not love us because we got clean. He cleaned us because He loves us. That's awesome. He doesn't love us because we're clean. He cleaned us because He loves us. And years ago, when we first got married, I had a T-shirt, and it had Mario on it carrying one of the bombs. I love that shirt. I just wore that shirt everywhere. It was my favorite. Ever have a favorite shirt before, right? Yeah. Just me and Josh. I love that shirt. One day I like came home, and I mean literally, it came to a point I couldn't wear the shirt. It was starting to, you know, neck was like torn off the, you know. But it was so comfy around the house mowing the grass. Greatest shirt ever, you know. And I just love that shirt. One day I was getting ready to go do something, and I don't know if I was mowing or cleaning something. I was like looking. I'm like, Stacy, where's my Mario shirt? She's like, threw it away. You did what? I threw it away. Because it was so stained and dirty, and again, it had been washed, but there comes a point in shirts, some things just quit coming out, you know. Paint, and but those were, I call those memories. Right? You know, and you know, she's like, I threw it away. And she should have. It was pretty, you know, but it was so nice. But you know, why did I keep throwing it in the wash? Why did I hang on to it? I loved it. Listen, God never throws anybody away. He loves you. And if you'll run to him today, he'll cleanse you. You've probably heard Lester Roloff sing that song. I used to, every time I think about the song, I think about my grandpa would sing this song all the time. We were out fishing, but he'd just be casting rods, and all of a sudden I'd hear him start singing. Dark the stain that soiled man's nature. Long the distance that he fell. Far removed from hope in heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain open, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. I'm so thankful that the Lord loves us and he washes us through his blood. Number three, look down at the verse again. Number three says in verse number 5, and him that loved us and washed us from our sins. By the way, that's something he has done. That's something he's doing right now. He'll forgive you today. He'll do it tomorrow. He loved us. He washed us. And then the Bible says in verse number 6, and. Now those two things right there are worth shouting about and rejoicing about. But and. Wait. You ever seen those commercials? Wait. There's more. Verse number 6. He not only loved us and made us, washed us, but he made us. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And thirdly, he has made us kings and priests. Praise the Lord, he's made us kings. You know, how does that work? You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You are royalty. One day we will rule and reign with him. You know, I don't know about you. You know, we're about to go over to Scotland, but in the news this week, I had to ask my wife about it. What is, you know, I guess it was a big news that somebody in royalty in England edited a picture they took. Well, that was the stupidest thing ever. Who cares, right? And, you know, I was like, and my wife explained it to me, and she's like, well, that's, royalty's not supposed to do that. I was like, you know, what in the world? And he said, well, it's just there's certain things royalty just doesn't do. He has made you a king. Christians, your father's the king. There's a certain way we ought to behave. Because our future is pretty secure. Amen. So you and I ought to live a respectable life, a life of responsibility, a life of privilege. And there's a power that comes with that. But he has made you royalty. We need to live that way. What a privilege it is that he's made us a king. Amen. He's also made us a priest. Because we're not just royalty, but we're a priest. And you know what a priest did? A priest represented. A priest in the Old Testament represented God to the people and represented the people to God. They would go and they'd make their sacrifice. They would pray on behalf of the people. They would speak on behalf of God. And in the Old Testament, you couldn't be priest and king. Uzziah tried that. In the Old Testament, he took upon himself the responsibility that he was already the king, and he went into the, tried to make sacrifices as a priest, and let's just say that didn't end up really well for him. Got leprosy. God judged him. But you and I, he has made kings and priests. And you and I, that right there ought to thrill our hearts, because we don't deserve that. He has made us a representative of him. Which means this, God expects us to speak to man on behalf of him. God expects us to speak to him on behalf of man. There's someone you need to pray for. There's someone that's lost.
you need to talk to. Run to the Lord and run to them. And all it should leave us feeling is in verse number 6, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God. He's made you a king and a priest. He loved us, washed us, he made us. And I close with this in verse number 7. He's coming for us. Coming for us. The Bible says, behold, cometh with cloud. I got up this morning. I started heading down Route 28, heading here this morning. Beautiful morning. Thinking about the sermon. Big old clouds up there in the sky. When you walk out, just take a glance at it. One of these days. And it could be today. One of these days. The Lord's coming with those clouds. And it could be today. See what's going to happen? Well, he's going to call all of us, the saints of God, to meet him there in the sky. And by the way, not coming by himself. We're going to meet all of our loved ones who have already gone on. They're going to meet us there in the clouds as well. What a reunion that's going to be one day. But the most glorious thing is we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming for us. Behold, he cometh with clouds. He's also going to come back, not just for us, but 7 years after that event, he's going to come back to rule and reign on this earth. And that's where, in verse number 7, every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. One day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. We that are saved will cry out, hallelujah, to the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Those that are lost will wail because of it. You see, we're either longing for that day, even so come quickly, amen. Or there are those who will lament that day because they rejected the Lord. They've waited too late. I like the hymn. It says, and O Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. I'm not singing well today. Sing it. The clouds be rolled back, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
It is well with
my soul. Can you say that? Can you say, even so? Are you ready? If not, get ready today. Because is, was, what is to come. He always loved us. He loves us. And he always will love us. He cleanses. Done it. Does it. And he'll do it. He's made kings and priests. Done it. Doing it. And he'll do it. He's coming. Came once. Die for our sins. He'll come into your heart today. But one day he's coming for us. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Don't miss it. Be almighty. Father, I pray.